Hello everybody, welcome to a new episode of TechMeToo.eu. Our guest today is Daniel Ruiz Morales. He's a Spanish man who is now living in Belgium, and his project is called WITMEET, W-I-T-M-E-E-T. What he's trying to achieve is to bring people together who are willing to learn foreign languages. This is extremely important in Europe, and this is a very interesting project per se. The other reason why I wanted to have Daniel on the show is because he just launched his website, and he has been working for like 10 months on the whole process and the technical side of it, and he's now at the stage where he needs to market his idea, find partners, and this is a crucial moment. It's very difficult when you have when you're a coder, basically, and you need to go to that part of the world, you might not know as well as you do coding. So it's very interesting to listen to Daniel speaking about his plans and where he's struggling a little bit and what are his ideas to make his site known to a wide audience. So if you have ideas, share them with us and enjoy the show. Hi Daniel, thanks a lot for being with us today. You're going to talk about your website, WITMEET, that is a way to put together people who want to learn languages. Can you tell us a little bit how it works?
It's very simple. I mean, you can figure out since the very first page, the initial page, the home page, you can see the map and you can browse the map, you can see people there. And that is a way to make people feel what they will get if they sign up. And well, if you want to get in contact with people, you really have to get an account. And then you will be able to make contacts. You can chat with them through the website and you can afterwards meet them for a coffee or for a walk or whatever you want, just to talk, to improve your language skills. That's the basic idea.
Do you plan to have something like feedback once you've met somebody?
Right now, there is no way to get feedback from people. I mean, to evaluate how you find other people. But it will be interesting. The question is that if I provide that from the very beginning, I think users are going to be a little bit scared of that kind of functionality. And even how I'm going to deal with it is something I have to still think on it, no? I mean, for example, if you meet only one person, I cannot provide or I wouldn't provide your rate on that person from the beginning because that person will know that it was because of you. So I think it's something to think about it for future releases.
Yeah, it's very interesting and very tricky. I think your project is interesting in many ways. First of all, because there's a real need in Europe to be able to talk, you know, and learn languages. So maybe before we go back into more features, can you tell us the story behind the website and how you started building it, when, and so forth?
Yeah, well, I started thinking on the idea. Well, not in the idea of building the site, but I started to have the need of using something similar when we moved to Germany to live, to Munich. And there I took lessons of German, but so at the end we end up speaking in English, so I didn't have too much time to speak German. But when we moved here to Belgium, I wanted to improve my English skills and I was looking for people to meet, but I couldn't find a website to do exactly this. So, well, I started to think on the idea. At the end, I found one place, but it was very local oriented. It was not something for the whole world. And well, that was what I wanted to provide. No? As long as I was from other places in Europe, I found interesting the idea of trying to bring people from different countries together to share their languages, their cultures, everything behind. No? That is quite interesting here in Europe right now.
Definitely. And so you started working on that at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
What have been the milestones and I think you're a one-person organization, I like to put it that way. So you have to do everything, and there are many things to do. So what have been the challenges you faced in starting from the idea and getting to now the website that is live and, you know, online, it's still alpha but working.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Yeah, I started to think on the whole site, no, but not too much in the every single feature that I wanted to have, but in the how it will work, no. I wanted to have an overall design of what I wanted to build, and well, I come up with a bunch of modules, you know, profiles, well, accounts, profiles. I wanted to also to have something quite appealing, not something to bring users to the site, something that get the user into the site, no? And that was when I come up with the map idea, no? Of putting people there and just make the users to browse the map or search the map easily, no? And that was indeed the toughest part, no? To design the clusters, the cluster to manage the markers in the map. That was the toughest thing. And when I had the idea of the modules that I wanted to build, to develop, I started to think on the design in terms of the user. So I didn't want to overwhelm the user with a lot of stuff in the screen. So I had to pass through several cycles of design the website to make it somehow clean, no?
So you've done it all. You took care from the design too. You didn't go to 99 Design or one of those places, Odeskillens or whatever.
Well, now I know them. But when I started, I didn't know them. And indeed, I was learning some stuff from Web 2.0. I was learning some old, well, not all. I had very old knowledge of JavaScript, and I wanted to get updates. So I was learning jQuery too and some things, no? So, well, I passed through three development cycles during these 10 months, just improving the site, no? So I finished one, and then I was observing it, and I decided, okay, let's go for the second round because it's not mature. And then I did the third one, and I decided, okay, I have to be online because otherwise I'm losing the feedback of the users. Being alone, it's very tough for that. You don't get feedback. You don't know if you are doing what you really think it's going to work. So at the end, I said, okay, I'm going to release it as it is, and I will start to get feedback, and I will decide if I have to implement new features or if I have to customize another ones, etc. I think it has been the toughest part of the project, these 10 months working alone.
This kind of site has a very well-known challenge, that is the chicken and egg question. You need to have a lot of users to get more users.
Definitely.
So, you know, the hardest part is to get the few first users. But at this stage, what have you learned since launching the website that you didn't think about before, you know, 3 weeks ago before you launched?
Well, I like to think a lot. So I still didn't discover anything I didn't think previously. But it's when once you are online, if you are alone, it's really complicated to move the website. I mean, I got a lot of feedback in these 2 to 3 weeks, really a lot of feedback, quite interesting indeed. And some of them are already features that I want to develop, but I still didn't have time to put my hands on. So it's very tough. By the other side, I cannot start developing things because I need to spread the word. You know, I need to gather users, to bring users to the site. So it takes a lot of time. I think I want to spend 50% of the time in daily basis to encourage people to come into the site, and the 50% in maintenance and development. No? You know, maintenance, I fix bugs, I take care of the servers, and I develop new things. Well, I start to design them, no? You know, to see how they fit in the other features, which models I have to design, and how they are going to fit in the rest of the applications running there, you know, the database, the NoSQL engine, etc. No, it's really complicated. It's getting my time, absolutely.
And so you decided to launch globally. I mean, it's a service that you can use all over the world, as you said, because people can register, but you can't advertise it all over the world. So you probably have to focus on a given part of Europe. Or what is your strategy at this stage now to get the word out?
Yeah, I think the easiest way is to go in one local place, like for example Belgium, which is the place where I stay here, right, where I stay now. But I think it's easier also if you, I mean, if I speak to people in other countries, as it's not so big the continent, and we have more or less the same time. It's relatively easy to speak to people in different places and try to bring them in the side. And I think by the side, it's nice to see that suddenly people start to show up in the map, no? That as long as they create their with meets, they show up in the map, and I mean you can get in touch with them.
Have you spent any time, any extensive period of time looking at what's already existing? So you told me you couldn't find the service that was doing what you wanted exactly, but there are other providers of, you know, language learning is a very big market. So have you spent time doing that?
Yeah, I was looking for a similar thing, and I found a website based in US. I don't remember the place. I think it's I don't remember right now, but they offer something similar, but they provide a learning platform, and this is not exactly a learning platform. I mean, I really don't put my feet on that business because it's going to be hard to bring users. I mean, I don't want to provide language lessons on the site. So for that, you better have schools, for example, and that is their business. So you can get some lessons in the schools, but at the end, you need to get confidence with your conversational level. Otherwise, it's not going to be more than a hobby, you know? So when you want to get self-confidence speaking the languages, you need to meet people. It's something that you are not going to have in the school, you know, in the language school. So this is the gap that I want to fill.
Yeah, and do you have already a business model, or are you just first looking at building your user base and then looking at monetization?
Yeah, I have a plan for the short term. I mean, in this very first year, second year, there is a clear need of grow the user base. Otherwise, there will be less chances to make money. But at the short term, there will always be users in the mood to pay a professional to get conversational lessons, for example. And there will be professional in the mood to pay a monthly or yearly fee to get payment services provided by Witmeet, organizing appointments and contacts and letting them open in their services for a broader scope of users, you know. So I think on Witmeet as a platform to bind both interests, people wanting to improve by paying and linguist professionals to get paid. And there with me get its free or its fee or a share, no? So while I have still to define this would be the first approach into monetization, but I think there will be other chances because right now the site is getting focused on the language and the language's idea, but at the end people want to meet other people. I mean, you move to other country to live and you need to get in touch with other people. You want to interact. At the beginning, it's because of the languages, but behind there could be another reason. I mean, you probably want to go out for running with someone, or you want to go to take a walk, or you want to do business, or you want to learn something, you want to have discussions on some topics, technical topics, or whatever. No, so I think the idea of building this upon the languages, or just to use the languages as an excuse, it's interesting, but behind that, there is plenty of possibilities. So I don't want to explore them right now because I'm quite far from that. But I want to grow the base, the user base, and then I will explore the possibilities.
Have you gotten to the stage where you think about getting funding, or is that not something you're concerned with for the moment?
I would like to, but I was in an event in London and I talked with some VCs, venture capitalists, about the idea, and they say they were a bit tired of investing in projects with a very far milestone on revenue, you know. So it was a bit clarifying for me. So I thought it would be much easier, I don't know if it would be much easier, but the way to do it for me could be like finding some executive partner in the coming months and to decide to go for 5-6 months on our own. and then they move into something with VCs or angel investors, something like that. But this is the thing I have to face right now. No, I want to go for some weeks more, 2 months, and I want to start looking for an executive partner, because right now I'm working alone and it's really too much. No.
So if there would be one thing that you would do differently, is maybe looking for a partner early on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. There will be big differences, because I don't know if I lost my focus while I was developing the site, you know? So, for example, if you are designing the idea, you look for other sites. And once you think you have the idea of what you want to develop, you go into deep of the code and you don't think on anything else. But if you are working with someone, you have constantly feedback on what you are doing, and it could be interesting. I mean, it could be better to work on that way instead of being alone.
So when you hear people like the guys from Y Combinator that are saying, we want two founders, if possible, one being technical, the other being maybe, you know, sales or a product guy. Your experience now is to say this is indeed something that looks like the right approach.
Yeah, definitely. It has a lot of sense to work in that way, because you are putting together people coming from different fields. And if you really understand the other person, if you understand each other, it's really great. You have the information from the side that you are not confident enough. And working together can be really, really successful. I think if I would have the chance to start again, I would go for that. I would look for someone interested in working on this idea, no?
Yeah, definitely. And do you have any contacts, or it's too early still?
It's too early. I made some contacts in London, but I had the feeling that they were not so interested in the idea, just because it was social, you know? And it seems to me that they were tired of finding social things. So apart from that, I was in Switzerland and in an event, and I met some people there, but I couldn't find interest around the the site. So I think I have to make an approach again, and I have to look for people interested on this idea. I think it could be interesting for people having companies related with languages, or with people moving from one country to another, etc. But I have to work on it, definitely.
Okay, so there are still a lot of things we talked about it, marketing-wise, that you have to do, and also in terms of expansion of the team itself. But if we go back to what you've done so far, and there's quite a lot, I find it interesting to tell also people listening what technology you've used and why you've decided to use it. So your site is based on Django, which is a Python framework. Did you choose this framework because you know Python, or for other reasons?
No, well, I know Python. I knew Python before I knew Django, but I was also learning Rails in the past before I learned Django. Python, and I found Ruby quite interesting. I mean, I found as a language really well designed, etc. But I read when I started to thinking on which languages I wanted to use for other projects, not for this one, I found that Python was performing much better. So I decided to spend my time with Python. And then when Django came to the picture, I found it really, really good. So compared with other frameworks, it was quite mature. And by other side, there is a huge community behind providing a lot of open source stuff. And that really makes things very easier. I think the open source movement is helping a lot on building these sites. You have an idea, you develop your skills on Python and Django, and you can move on.
And obviously you don't host it home. I mean, you don't have a computer under your desk and you're putting it, you know, in production from there. So what strategy did you use in order to keep cost as low as possible while having the quality as high as possible?
Well, I was thinking on using cloud computing, but one of the components I'm using is Redis. It's a very key component on the site, and I read some email somewhere.
So what does Redis do, maybe for people who are not familiar with the concept?
Yeah, Redis is a NoSQL engine. It's great. I mean, it's quite fast. It's something similar to Memcache, but completely different in terms of that you have a big set of data types, and with those data types you can do many, many things. It's not just a simple raw NoSQL engine. It's providing a lot of data types that helps you a lot when you build your model onto Redis. So the question about Redis is that it's mem-based, you know, it's memory-based, so it takes a lot of memory to run. Well, a lot. I mean, you are putting your stuff in memory, so you need memory, real memory indeed. You can use it in cloud computers, but I was not self-confident with that. I read some articles saying that they were not performing good, and at the end I say, okay, I'm going to for the secure thing, and I will take a server somewhere and I will put my stuff there. And that's what I did. So I need, right now I have a cloud computer and a real server, no? Holding the site.
I don't know if you can talk about that, but what's the range? How expensive is it, to give an idea of how expensive cloud computing is when you want to launch a project?
It's not expensive at all. It's quite cheap indeed. So, for example, for Rackspace cloud computing, I mean, if you want a server with 1 gig, I think I'm paying 40 euros or something like that per month. The cost increases a lot when you go for a real server. If you go for a real server with a lot of memory, that is the case of the server I'm using, then you have to pay around $250, $300, no, per instance, per server. But I think there is a lot of sense doing this when you are running some products, for example. In the case of Redis, I think it's good if it's running in a real server. And by the other side, if I get some success with it, I will have to scale, so I will have to add more servers. And I think it's going to be easier, at least for me, that I have a system administration background. I think it's going to be easier for me to use real servers. Probably there are also chances to do this in using cloud computers, I mean cloud servers from cloud computing, but I was not confident enough. And as long as I was working alone, I thought it would be much faster and less risk-prone to use this solution.
Yeah, I mean, prices are very reasonable. So that's one of the things everybody's talking about, how now launching a product is not expensive. Of course, what you have to keep in mind, the cloud computer or server space is not very expensive, but still you need time. And as we can see, what I find interesting is, although you have a background in computer science, it still takes a lot of time to build a website.
Definitely.
Yeah, so do you think you could have done it much quicker, knowing what you know now, if you had to start from scratch again?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I was getting back from 6 years of working in other topics, so I was doing other things. I was developing internet websites 10 years ago based on Java, and then I moved to development in C++, and then 2 years ago I went back to the internet field, but I found myself quite apart of what was going on since I left. And then I wanted to learn some jQuery and some, you know, how the Django was working. And I wanted to know about Redis. So I wanted to put all this together. And I spent quite a lot of time doing this. So now if I have to do it again with all this knowledge, I think I would do it half of the time probably.
Okay, so a good part of those 10 months was dedicated to learning. So, okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, time goes very fast. One thing I'd like to discuss with you, I don't know if you're very involved into the startup scene in Belgium or what's happening even in Belgium. It's not a country I hear a lot from. I'm hearing a lot of companies coming from the Netherlands, and Amsterdam seems to be a very active hub for startups. What's happening in Belgium?
I cannot say too much, but I think there are quite interesting people working here around. I think it's a very international place to stay, as long as it's like in a crossway, you know? I mean, it's close to France, close to Germany, to Netherlands, to UK. So you can find people from everywhere here. And I think it would be interesting to raise the company here. But the question is that for me, well, my wife is scientist, and we will move somewhere else in a couple of months. Well, not a couple, something more. So we have to face that. We have to look for a place to stay and to create a company. So I don't know. I really don't know how is the market here. I know the company I was working for, they are really good on what they do. It's something related with advertisement.
Well, what's the name of the company?
It's Netmining. And they provide advertisement solutions and things like that, and they were really good. But apart from that, I don't know any other company.
And now let's say that, you know, you could just choose, pick a country or pick a city where you could locate your company without any other consideration for, you know.
It's hard to say, yeah,
You don't know? You don't have any preference?
Yeah, of course, but the preferences are based on my own experience. So I never been in London, for example. Just I passed by it for some events. But for example, I lived in Munich, and it's a great place to live, definitely. And I also lived in Madrid, and it would be quite interesting as well. But I don't know. I'm open. I'm completely open. I think I have to look for the executive partner, and wherever I found one, I will consider it. But in my personal opinion, or my desire is to be close to the mountains, because I really love them and I miss them here. That's the only thing I miss here in Belgium, no? The mountains. So I would move to Munich again, just because it's close to the mountains. They have really good quality of life, and I think you can find a lot of people doing interesting things there, but as well in Berlin too. So they are quite active indeed in Berlin, and it's also a great place to be. I mean, I have some friends there, and they say it's great. It's relatively cheap, and you can do a lot of things. Society is very active on a lot of topics, so it would be also interesting.
You're definitely very, very open. That's a big plus. I mean, if you want to find the right people, and there are opportunities all over Europe. I think that's one of the things I learned through this podcast, is that, you know, from Copenhagen, Estonia, you know, smaller countries you wouldn't necessarily think about first, but there are still loads of great people there. As you said, bigger places, bigger hubs like Berlin, London, even Dublin, you know, is getting more and more active.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, so. Definitely. I think it's more or less the same. Behind is the same idea as what I wanted to develop with Whitmin. No? You know, people is moving in Europe. I mean, you find young people moving from their places of origin to continue their studies to other cities, and they want to get in touch to do more or less the same things that they were doing in their place of origin. And somehow is what you are doing with this website. So you are talking to people in other countries, and they are doing more or less, we are all doing more or less interesting things around internet, and we more or less are not very far from each other. So if you are relatively free to move, that is what we have right now in Europe, I think it's not a problem, no, to decide where you want to go and to have experience there with your company.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, good luck for the next few months that are going to be, without any doubts, extremely interesting and full of surprises. I hope great ones. And thank you for sharing your experience so far. And I hope we'll have a chance to, in a year or so, talk about what you've done in marketing and, you know, expansion and so forth.
Well, it was my pleasure, Benoit.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.